next on BYUSN. Hey, 3-0 starts and back-to-back seasons for the Cougars. Why is 2024 better than last year? Defensive end Tyler Batty previews Saturday's matchup with Kansas State and what it'll take to slow down Avery Johnson and the Wildcat offense. Blaine Fowler discusses BYU's 3-0 start, Jake Retzloff's play, and where BYU has been better than he thought. And Top 5 Tuesday features the top five plays from the 1997 classic, the Cotton Bowl win over Kansas State. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. I'm Jerem Jordan. It is Tuesday, September 17th. Well, how about that BYU defense through three games so far? 14 points a game allowed, 236 yards per game. That's pretty stinking good. The leader of the defense is senior defensive end Tyler Batty, who's ready for the challenge of Kansas State and trying to slow down Avery Johnson, their dynamic quarterback. Here's Spencer Linton with Tyler Batty.
Tyler, as you prepare for Kansas State and consider that you're 3-0 for a second consecutive year, what makes the two teams different from last year's 3-0 to this year's 3-0?
Well, we gotta play last year and learn from the rest of the season, and take that and improve going into this, you know, this next season. So being 3-0 is awesome. At the end of the day, right? It's a long season and we got plenty of games ahead of us. And so really it's just making sure that week by week we're ready for each game.
I've heard several of your teammates talk about the camaraderie, the chemistry, the love, being on another level compared to where it was last year. Not saying that last year was bad per se, but that just it has leveled up this year and it's a different feeling. Could you touch specifically on what that means?
Yeah, absolutely. We spent a lot of time working in the offseason, not just in the weight room, not just in the film room and on the field. Guys spent a lot of time getting to know their teammates better. Guys spent a lot of time with their teammates. Overall, that has helped our general team chemistry, right? When you know guys around you and you know their story, you know where they're from, it means more, right? You're going to play harder for that guy next to you when you truly feel a connection with him. You know what I mean? That actual brotherly bond versus just playing on the same field, if that makes sense.
Great stuff. Tyler Batty is on BYU Sports Nation. Before we turn the page specifically to Kansas State and what their offense is going to try and do against what has been a very good BYU defense, I would like to rewind to the Wyoming game. Now that you have seen the film and you watched it back a few times, how would you rate what the defense did against the Cowboys?
You know, we did okay. There were some good things. There were some bad things. There's definitely some stuff to improve and learn on. I think at the same time, like I said, we did do some good stuff, right? We got out of a lot of drives. We're able to get the ball back to our offense. And so overall, you know, I think it was an okay performance. Definitely some good motivation headed into this weekend to iron out those wrinkles to make sure we're ready for K-State.
Okay, let's talk about Kansas State now because they have one of the most dynamic dual threat quarterbacks in the country in Avery Johnson. He's a very good runner. BYU and you and the defense have seen some pretty good runners, notably Kevin Jennings from SMU. So how is Avery Johnson at this early stage of the week different than some of the other running quarterbacks you have played against?
Yeah, you know, like you said, he's a true dual threat, right? He can throw the ball well. He can run the ball well. And, you know, he executes their offensive scheme really well, right? He's very much in control out on that field. You know, for us, it really just comes down to trying to take him out of the game, not literally, but just, you know, schematically make sure that he's accounted for and make sure that, you know, there's eyes on him so he can't get out and, you know, potentially pick up all those yards with his legs.
What's the key, generally speaking, to keeping a quarterback from being able to break to the outside? Because, again, to your point, it's where he seems the most dangerous. So how do you game plan for that to try and keep him in the pocket?
Leverage him, right? Keep leverage on that quarterback. And then when you have an opportunity to hit him and hit him hard. That's what it comes down to.
Well, you've been known to do that a time or two, specifically against SMU. I think Mr. Jennings might still be feeling that one. But the physicality of the defense is notable as well, Tyler. And much attention has been paid to strength and conditioning. And you and I have talked about this before, but let's double down here. What exactly did the strength and conditioning staff do to help guys actually become bigger, stronger, and faster that we are seeing on the field now?
Yeah, that's great. Everything that we did in the off season was deliberate and intentional, right? So the strength staff really broke it down and said, hey, look, you're a freshman. We need to get you bigger and we need to get you stronger. So that's what we're going to focus in on right now. We're going to pump you full of volume. We're going to put some heavy weight on your back as you can start to, you know, adjust and take that versus guys in my position, right? Where, hey, we've played 3-4 years of college football. We kind of know the toll it takes. We've developed that strength, that baseline strength. We need to focus on you guys being powerful and fast, right? And so they did. They put us into little separate buckets of really what we needed to hone in on and improve on. And then we just did that all off season. And so as you can tell, it's paying dividends.
At this juncture, and again, it's only three games, what is BYU's defense doing best right now?
That is a good question. That is a good, really good question. I think there's a couple things that we are doing well. I think the best thing that we're doing right now is playing fast and physical, and guys are rallying to the ball. I would say that is, and in any given moment, there's typically 4, 5, 6 dudes around a ball carrier, and that makes a big difference. That makes a big difference.
Now let's be nitpicky. On the other side, where can BYU's defense improve the most after three games?
There's always mistakes, right? There's always issues with execution, and that's where that comes in. Is we just, you know, if we can be 100% on our assignments and execution, then theoretically we should give up no points. So that's the direction we want to head in.
Yeah, we'll finish with two more questions. One is, after Keelan Marion's touchdown return on the kickoff, I saw a video of you where you're heavily involved there. You're very excited about this, Tyler. What did that mean to you to see Keelan take that one back to the house?
Dude, it meant everything. It's something we've been working on for well over a year now. You know what I mean? We've had a couple get called back. And so to finally have one successful, you know what I mean? There's been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that have went into that. And, you know, the guys, you can just see it on film. You turn on the tape and guys are just playing their guts out for him and playing their guts out for our return team. So it meant a lot to me. It meant a lot to the team. Everyone was really stoked about that.
Okay, last one. This is probably going to make you think a little bit too, because I'm a car guy. You're a car guy. We appreciate quality German engineering specifically.
That's right.
If you were to compare BYU football to a car right now, what car would BYU be at this moment? Not saying you can't become something even better, but what car are you right now?
You know, maybe we're looking at like a, you know, just a base level Porsche 911, right? We're not quite to the turbo status yet. You know what I mean? We need to get there. We're close. But things are operating how they should. We just need a little bit more oomph to really become great. And so that's where the turbos kick in. So I would say we're kind of a base level 911. We need to up it a little bit more before we get those turbos.
Listen, I'll take a base Porsche 911 any day of the week, brother. But I await the turbo. I look forward to that. We appreciate the time, man. Best of luck to you. Let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma, and we can't wait to watch you play under the Saturday night lights.
Thanks, Spencer.
Linton. Coordinator's Corner is on demand featuring Kelly Papinga and Jay Hill. You can check it out on the free BYU TV app. Up next, 3-0 starts in back-to-back seasons for the Cougars. But what have we seen from this year's team that tells us it's better than last year? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
I think this 3-0 is a whole lot different from last year's 3-0.
The tests are going to get harder, but I really believe this. We're going to get better, too, as the season goes on.
Some of these games are going to come down to the end, and we have to be able to trust whoever is on the field, whether it's offense or defense, to make those final plays.
Do I hear 4-0? BYU has a chance to do that against Kansas State this weekend. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jerem Jordan. It's time to rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending. Presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. As we have documented, Jerem, BYU 3-0 for a second straight season. The Cougars lost five straight games. Ugh.
I remember that.
To close out 2023, did not qualify for a bowl game, went 2-7 in Big 12 play. Now, obviously, the hope is that this year's team can be a little bit better, if not a lot better, than last year's team and carry the momentum from another 3-0 non-conference start into the Big 12 for a better Big 12 record. Yesterday, head coach Kalani Sitake was asked about what is going to be different in his mind in regards to this team compared to last year's squad, and this was his response.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, I feel good about the team. If you guys think they haven't made any progress from last year to now, then that's your opinion. But I think we'll show it. I think people can realize that we're a different team than last year's team, and we'll keep working on it.
All right, let's share some opinions that I'm sure Kalani is excited to hear. What makes you believe BYU football is a better team this year after another 3-0 start compared to last year?
Yeah, it's not just that they're 3-0, although it is very similar. It's that they, I don't know, average more rush yards, pass yards, not relying on turnovers per se to win. The defense is even better. Oh, that's it. Just those four massive things. look at the numbers from last year. It is weird, though, that the points per game are the same. Pass yards different, though. Right? Like 67 more yards is a lot.
The offensive production is wildly different.
Third downs are worse, but that's something you got to address. Fourth downs are better. This defense, by the way, and those are the offensive numbers. Let's talk about defense, okay? The defense is better. 1.7 points per game better. Look at the pass yards, way down. Rush yards a little more, that's okay. Sacks are up. Takeaways are down, but that's okay.
The takeaways are what allowed BYU to start 3-0 last year.
Otherwise, BYU would have been 2-1. They would have lost at Arkansas. So I feel like this is very different. Let me tell you the thing that doesn't show up on the numbers, though. It's the continuity of the coaching staff, of the quarterback. It's a new O-line coach. It's not 31 transfers trying to figure it out. Like, literally, we were told, you know, Darius Lassiter and Keelan Marion and other newcomers at times were, like, still figuring out the playbook. At the beginning of the year, that happens. It takes time to settle in. Now in year two, Keelan Marion's housing kickoff returns, and Darius Lassiter is being targeted 9 times and scoring 20-yard touchdowns and 57-yard catches, against Southern Illinois. It is different. Does it mean BYU's automatically going to be better than last year? Well, so far they look better, Spence. But like Kalani Sitake said, well, we'll see. You have to go out and win the games. The schedule's tougher than it was last year. Not in the first three, I'm saying. I'm talking in league. The league is better, and now you play a Kansas State team that's one of your bigger games on the schedule, but it's the Big 12 opener at home. Last year, this was Cincinnati, and I said there was no way BYU was going to lose that game. They did not. I'm not ready to say that about Kansas State quite yet because they're very good, but I am excited about the juice that is Lavelle Edwards Stadium at night, and we understand a moment. Like, hey, this is state conference. This is the moment, right? General conference, this is a moment. We understand when there's a moment. This is a moment in BYU season. The Big 12 opener against a ranked Kansas State team feels like Baylor in 2022 when BYU really showed up in a big game of like, this is a moment. I think BYU shows up, competes well. I hope for a win. I want to win. I'm not here to, you know, they're going to win for sure. I respect Kansas State a lot. I think what they did to Arizona was make them look silly last Friday night. Can BYU's offense produce, take care of the ball? Can the defense continue to do what they've been doing? And I like BYU's chances.
We get probably, or you probably get tired of hearing it every week, but.
Who, them or me?
All of us.
All of us?
The turnover battle, especially in this game, will carry significant weight because Kansas State is just that squad that makes you pay when you make mistakes like that. To answer the question of the day, if all of the numbers that we just showed you weren't enough evidence that BYU is a better team through three games this year compared to last year, then let's give some credibility to the eye test, Jerem.
Oh, the eye test.
Does BYU not just look better, specifically on defense?
Yeah.
They look better.
Oh, by the way, special teams produced a touchdown. Will Farron's money field goals, you know. Punting, taking a step back just a touch, but it's not been bad. There's been one shank, but, like, overall been better.
BYU's offense is significantly improved statistically and through the eye test. And I can't wait to show you what we're about to throw up on the screen. Let's compare the quarterbacks from last year in Keaton Slovis to Jake Retzlaff this year. Jake has taken his lumps. There's a good portion of the fan base that's just waiting for Gary Bohannon to get his shot.
I know. Someone tweeted that he was warming up with his helmet on.
I was the one that sent that message out.
It was you.
I did add, I don't think this means he's going to play, but he is warming up with his helmet on.
It did make me laugh when you posted that.
But look at these numbers.
Yeah.
Everybody was all in on Keaton Slovis, the USC transfer, guy who was a freshman All-American, NFL dude. Look at Jake's numbers compared to Keaton Slovis. Through three games, in similar competition, might I add.
Yeah.
Similar level competition. Southern Illinois, SMU, Wyoming, similar to Sam Houston, Arkansas, and Southern Utah. Are they not?
Yeah, I'd agree.
He's thrown for almost 200 more yards through those three games. One more touchdown. Does have two more giveaways than Slovis had.
That's a point of conversation.
Sure, point of concern.
But rating is the one, the efficiency is the one that matters the most to me.
He is 11 and a half points better in efficiency rating.
And oh, by the way,
Jake Retzlaff is.
He's added rushing.
Keaton 113 yards rushing.
Keaton scored a couple touchdowns early in the season. Jake hasn't scored quite yet. Hey, shout out to that ref for ducking out of the way, by the way.
Slovis had -2 yards through three games, by the way.
Yeah, from sacks. Jake's been sacked. Those yards count against him. But he has 113 rushing yards this year, which is the leading rusher for BYU, by the way.
Listen, it may be time to roll with Retzlaff here. Like, when you compare the quarterbacks, and I know that the core, what you were talking about, continuity, chemistry, you've been around each other, you've gone
Jake's
through hard
part
things
of
together.
That.
Jake went through that.
Yeah.
The team is more cohesive. They've been around each other long enough. In fact, that was what Tyler Batty spoke at length about in our opening segment. I asked, why? Like, what's the deal? Why are you so much better?
What's the deal?
This year. Yeah. And he pointed to exactly that. Yeah. And we were bought in on that. We were hoping that BYU football could take a page out of BYU basketball's book and
continuity.
Use the core and continuity to get better.
Yeah.
It would appear that that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I am encouraging people to slow their roll, especially after looking at the quarterback comparison on what's behind Jake Retzlaff. He's been productive. Yes, the turnovers are an issue. But if the turnovers go away, can we all agree that things will be great?
Yes, will the turnovers go away is the question. I talked to Jake Retzlaff yesterday for the film room. You can see that tonight on the Satake Show. Great conversation. He is aware of the noise, by the way. He is aware.
Of course he is.
It's
way too loud.
He is aware. And I'm not sure it helps him, you know? So everyone can have an opinion on what they want to happen. So that's that. It's what it is. He's aware, though. Yeah.
He's a gamer, as Trevor Maddich called him yesterday. He's really good when he gets outside the pocket. He clearly can run, and he brings a totally different dynamic and element to BYU's offense.
Absolutely. And I asked him about the space between being aggressive and playing his style and trying to take care of the ball. So look for what he says about that coming up tonight. In the film room.
I can't wait. Yeah. Let's give Jake Retzlaff a chance to compete against Kansas State, and then we reassess once again. But through three games, compared to last year,
pretty good.
He's way ahead of the curve.
154. I like that number.
That is a solid number. Oh, yeah, and he was the highest rated quarterback, according to Pro Football Focus, in the Big 12 last week.
Fourth in the country among P4s.
I know it was against Wyoming, but guess what? Played a similar schedule as Keaton Slovis last year.
You're telling me everyone in the country played hard teams last week?
Nope. No.
You know what I mean?
Most didn't.
It's all good.
Most didn't.
It's all good. Mel Kiper has Jack Kelly as his fifth best outside linebacker prospect in this year's draft class.
He passes the eye test.
How about that? Kiper on Kelly. BYU outside linebacker Jack Kelly was relatively unknown in August, but he's quickly rising. So I have him fifth at the position after 3 weeks. He added his second sack of the season Saturday against Wyoming. You can see the high-end closing speed on tape. At 6'2", 240, Kelly flies all over the field and can also play off the ball. Has Kelly been even better than you expected?
Yes. I had high expectations for him. But when you see him play, and that high-end speed that Mel Kiper is talking about is a sight to behold. Like, when he is on a beeline for the quarterback or the running back trying to get to an edge or get to the sideline before the offensive player does, it's unbelievable how fast he is for his size. We heard all fall camp, he's clearly the best player on defense. And we saw it, yeah. So that's not a surprise. But he's faster. And that eye test, he's faster than I thought he would be. So he has, to a degree, outperformed my expectations for him. And certainly he's getting the attention of those that matter most on the highest of NFL draft analyst levels.
I know. I was surprised by this morning. I like this. Here's some of the quantifiables where he ranks on the team, right? He's first in all the stuff that matters by tackles. He's second to Harrison Taggart. TFLs, 3. Sacks, 2. QB hurries, 4, which is one that matters a lot, right? He's recovered a fumble. That's tied for first.
He's disruptive.
He's doing great. He really is. And typically your middle linebacker is going to wear that coach-to-player communication. It's Jack Kelly that wears it as the weak side, or rover, as BYU calls it, linebacker. Jack Kelly has been awesome. Sack Kelly, some fun nickname. Number 17, dude, doing work. Fun to have both 17s make a play. Keelan Marion in the Wyoming game as well. So, yeah, he's been better than I thought, too. I'm excited for him to continue to be disruptive. Now that you get into Big 12 play, can you keep that going against quality competition? Because if he's the spy on Avery Johnson, that's a big deal. He was spying quite a bit on SMU.
Jennings,
thank you. Kevin Jennings. He got absolutely burned at the goal line with DJ Williams in the Southern Illinois game. I think since that moment, he's really responded well. Because DJ kind of juked him out, and I was like, oh, not everyone makes a play every time. But I've liked what I've seen, because sometimes you get burned. And then you respond, and he was responded really nicely.
Well, leaders, they show up. Yeah. When something like that happens, they fix it, and they
sometimes
get better.
Sometimes you forget the name of the SMU quarterback. Kevin Jennings.
Yeah. Another it running happens. Quarterback. Running quarterbacks every game for BYU's defense thus far.
That's college football now, yeah.
Wyoming's wasn't as much of a runner as the first two, but he could still absolutely run. All right, Speaking of running, BYU's running backs and their depth have been tested early in the season. Yesterday, Kalani Sitake gave an update on the injury status of specifically LJ Martin, Hinkley Rapati, and Enoch Nawahine, who we were wondering why he didn't play against Wyoming after a solid performance against SMU. And Sitake spoke specifically on what he has seen from the running back group so far this season as well.
I mean, we're still evaluating. There's still a chance that this week that, you know, we could see those guys, but right now we feel good about the entire group, man. I was happy with what Miles did when he came in, and happy with Sionemoa, what he did, and happy with Pokai Haunga when he came in. So those guys did a great job, and we know we have Enoch Nawahine that's there too, and so I feel good about the group overall.
Okay, does BYU need their full rotation, including LJ Martin and Hinkley Rapati and Enoch Nawahine, to upset Kansas State on Saturday night?
No, they just need to be better than Kansas State on Saturday night. They don't have to play amazing or great. You just have to be better than they are. And you can disrupt things by taking care of the football and establishing the run game. It would be nice, obviously, if LJ Martin with an ankle and Hinkley Rapati with a knee were available and healthy and good enough. But we've seen enough wiggle from Enoch Nawahine and Pokai Haunga and Sionemoa to think, okay, I don't have a lot of volume on those guys, but BYU trusts them and likes them, and Miles Davis. But although Miles, between the tackles, had a hard time at times.
He's at his best on the edge because
he's
fast.
He's fast, yeah. He's a converted slot guy. And so we'll see what BYU does with that. But Aaron Roderick can mix up the playbook in a way where you don't have to have LJ, right, effectively to in Hinkley. I would hope, because Jake Retzloff's in the run game. That's an element that BYU didn't have last year that they've inserted this year, the last three have specifically. That can change things. So you are really relying on Jake. 77% of the yards, by the way, against Wyoming.
The quarterback run game is the key cog here. Like you have to have it. So it's insert whatever running back, whether it's Martin, Rapati, Nawahine, Pokai Haunga, it's Moa, it's Davis. Honestly,
insert Polynesian running back.
Jake Retzloff makes that thing go with the RPO.
Yes. Yeah.
It is on Jake Retzloff. Again,
more slants to Chase Robertson.
Critically important player, and he has done pretty well, all things considered, when he's been asked to run more. It has opened up BYU's offense when they have gone stagnant, happened against SMU, and certainly it looked potent against Wyoming when they brought in the RPO and let Jake run.
Can you do it against Kansas State? We shall see Saturday. Yep.
They practice against the running quarterback, so they'll, you would think, be more disciplined and ready for something that Jake Retzlaff will be able to do.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
How about this? College football statistician Kelly Ford has a ranking system he calls most deserving rankings.
Okay.
So he put out a college football bracket of most deserving rankings right now. BYU had 10 seed.
What?
Look at the 1 seed, Northern Illinois.
They won at Notre Dame.
This is obviously silly. Let's play this right now, right? Like, let's just end the season. Let's start the playoff right now. BYU against UNLV, the 7-10.
Oh, boy. Okay.
He said, this isn't what the committee's going to choose. This is just my most deserving right now based on the first 3 weeks. Yeah, this is fun. This is fun.
Absolutely.
Is it going to happen? No.
I was looking at all of the 12 teams in this K Ford ratings bracket.
Sirik, it's UCF 3 seed.
Like, there are some legitimate teams in there, okay? Texas is going to be there probably.
Texas
Kansas State is not like an insane pick. A lot of people think they're going to win the Big 12 and get the auto bid. Georgia certainly could be in the mix and will be in the mix, I think.
Could be in the mix, really.
But outside of that, maybe Oregon. BYU, the 10 seed, though, is wild. Is BYU the most surprising team in that bracket was my question.
Well, Northern Illinois is the one, really sticks out.
As the one, yes. Yeah, Northern Illinois could win the auto bid, though. They could take the group of five bid.
Yeah, it's all undefeated teams in here, right? UNLV in the mix. Hey, big win at Kansas. But
they've never been ranked ever in the history of the program until this week.
I didn't even notice they got in. Yeah.
In the coaches poll, they're at number 25.
Oh,
they've
coaches?
Never been ranked in any poll.
Coaches. Nah, dude. Coaches don't count.
3-0.
Big win over Kansas, who keeps throwing interceptions.
Holy cow. Our question of the day.
10
BYU
seed.
BYU has the 10 seed. Oh, in the playoff bracket. The blue goggles behind us aren't even big enough.
I know. Those aren't big enough. No.
We need blue goggles to fill this room before we go there.
Beat Kansas State and Baylor, we can start to have a weird, fun conversation, okay? At 5-0.
Those are big ifs, but.
Yeah, you've mentioned it off air, like, what if? And I'm like, dude.
If BYU got past Kansas State and Baylor and 5-0 in the bye week, yes. Then the national analyst would start to bring BYU into a conversation.
Oh, yeah. Now BYU's like 16th and we're having fun. Yeah.
Our question of the day. What makes you believe BYU is a better team this year after a 3-0 start compared to last year in the 3-0 start? At Joe Wheat 27 on X says,
Joe Wheat.
In last year's 3-0 start, BYU was outgained by 23 yards. They were outgained. This year, BYU has outgained their opponents by 616 yards.
Facts.
Same win-loss record, but much more sustainable proof of concept. We showed you the total yards.
Yes.
It's a huge disparity.
There are certain numbers that matter. Like, run differential in Major League Baseball tells you that this team is not sustainable to win. The Mariners do this every year, although we're only two back right now, Spence. Come on, man. In the wild card, let's go.
You buying into it?
Oh, no. come on. But, like, there are numbers that matter. That number matters. It really does.
Oh, my goodness.
Good observation by Joe.
You've outgained opponents by 616 yards. There were some weird things happening with last year's 3-0 start.
Yeah.
We were like, when is this thing going to crumble?
And we were saying, it's not sustainable. You got to take care of the ball and you got to be able to run the ball mainly. Yeah.
Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram. You answer our question of the day. Why is BYU a better 3-0 team this year than last year?
It's a Tuesday, and that means After Further Review is on the BYU TV app. Tonight, 7 Eastern, as the boys break it all down, look at Kansas State.
On this date in Cougar football history is on the way, and it features a game I'm guessing 99% of you have forgotten about, but it was a furious rally featuring one Ty Detmer. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's play On This Date in Cougar football history as we continue our celebration of the 100th season of BYU football. Jerem, let's hit the rewind button and stop where?
1988. So you and I were in elementary school. A week after beating Texas by 41, BYU welcomed UTEP into Cougar Stadium. Sean Covey connected with Jeff Franson for a 66-yard touchdown. BYU up 17-3 in the second quarter, but UTEP, the Miners, would score 24 and answered lead 27-17 entering the fourth.
What? What do we do? Well, you enter freshman quarterback Ty Detmer with Covey struggling. He took a bunch of snaps in the second half, and the Cougars stormed back. Michael Bryan, one-yard rushing touchdown, cut the lead to three. Detmer connected with Fred Whittingham from 10 yards out late in the fourth.
You're a Coug, Fred.
To give BYU a 31-27 win. That was a good UTEP team that went 10-3 that season. Ty Detmer leading the rally. Did you have any idea about
game? I didn't know anything about that game prior to today. Because yesterday that got brought up, and I was like, sorry, what happened in that game?
Ty Detmer off the bench.
I don't know
anything
to
lead the rally against a 10-3 UTEP team in Pro Bowl.
That's great. I'm here to learn, man. Let's go.
What this segment is about.
It's like, what happened?
That is awesome.
I would hope that's the entire show for most of you. But maybe you already know some stuff.
More Ty Detmer, please.
Absolutely.
Let's get to today's headlines.
I don't know if you guys knew this, but BYU's playing Kansas State. See, we're here to talk about it. They're number 13 in the country, playing Saturday night in Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Yesterday, head coach Kalani Sitake gave an update on some of the injured running backs.
I mean, we're still evaluating. There's still a chance that this week that, you know, we could see those guys. But right now, we feel good about the entire group.
Kalani also added that safety Micah Harper should be available for Saturday night. He's been dinged up a little bit. BYU and Kansas State, pregame begins at 8:30 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio Saturday night.
In case you missed it earlier in the show, Mel Kiper, draft analyst for ESPN, has BYU linebacker Jack Kelly ranked fifth among all outside linebackers in this year's NFL draft class. Wow. Kelly, second on the team with 14 tackles, leads BYU with three tackles for loss and two sacks. He's a disruptor. Sack Kelly, baby.
That means if the season ends today, it'd be like a third-round pick, Smith.
I know.
Like as the fifth out there. What? That's amazing. Tyler Allgeier, 9 carries, 53 yards, and a catch for 12 yards in the Falcons' improbable, incredible comeback against the Eagles. If only Saquon Barkley caught that 3rd-and-3 near the goal line. Allgeier averaging 6.2 yards per carry this season.
Oh, Kirk Cousins finally won a big game with the primetime spotlight on and in a huge rally.
You like that?
I do like that. BYU women's volleyball drops two spots to number 19 in this week's ABCA Top 25 poll. After an 0-2 week in San Diego, albeit two hard-fought five-set losses, Cougars will look to end their current three-game losing streak, tomorrow night against Utah State.
BYU's never lost three five-set matches in a row until the last three matches in BYU volleyball history.
And two of them against teams that were ranked higher than them.
Yes. Tough, like BYU's this close to being 7-0 and like 8th. Like
crazy.
Literally lost by 2 in all of them, crazy. And in the opening tournament of the season for men's golf, they're tied for 8th after 36 holes, led by sophomore Peter Kim, tied for 6th at 2-under. Final round of the Bearcat Invitational in Cincinnati at Coldstream Country Club. Teed off earlier this morning.
Ah, Coldstream.
Coldstream.
Kind of sounds like Coldstone.
Ice cream.
Coldstone Country Club. All right, that takes care of headlines. It's a big day, as you mentioned earlier on a Tuesday.
We got After Further Review. We've got BYU football with Kalani Sitake featuring the Jewab Jackhammer Blake Mangelson tonight, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
The Jewab Jackhammer.
That's what Ben Criddle calls it.
Amazing. After the break, that's a good one, Criddler. Lane Fowler joins us. What makes him believe BYU is clearly better this year than they were last year through three games? This is BYU Sports Nation.
You ever think it's Huab instead of Jewab?
Huab Jackhammer. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We continue live from the Studio Bizzle, Jerem. Been a while since we broke that out.
When you say we, you mean you.
you love it.
You've coined Studio Bizzle.
Studio Bizzle?
Shout out to Snoop.
You don't love it?
You're right. I don't like
it. It's Snoop's world. You're living in it, man.
You're right. I don't like it. I love it. And then the Cougar Council Room. It gets my kids every time when I say. They're like, oh, do you like it? And I go, I don't like it. I don't like your drawing. They're like, what? I was like, I love it. They're like, oh!
Classic dad move.
Every time.
Classic dad move. Okay, well, it's time to welcome, in a way, into the Studio Bizzle, our Uncle Bizzle, Blaine Fowler.
Okay, then.
Dual threat analyst. Hey, Blaine, tell me you're a Snoop Dogg fan and you're on board for the Studio Bizzle.
Oh, for shizzle.
That just happened on BYU TV. That just happened.
Oh, great stuff.
That's what Uncle B stands for, Uncle Bizzle.
Yes.
For shizzle.
We're here for it. He is the dual threat analyst, football and basketball. We're talking football clearly with BYU out to another 3-0 start, Blaine. We were just talking, statistically, it's hard to argue that BYU is a better team than they were last year. We're talking about the eye test as well. What would you add to the conversation that makes you think, okay, this team is clearly better than last year's team?
Yeah, there's some things that you can watch that are that really are independent of how good the team or how good the competition you're playing is. And one of those, especially on the defensive side, is how often are they out of position? How often are they not gap sound? Because last year we'd watch games, and it didn't matter whether who the opponent was. There were times when people get a, you know, gash BYU in the run game or have an open receiver that's wide open, and we'd go back and look at the film and go, oh, that's not a physical thing. They're not where they're supposed to be. So somebody's out of the gap. They didn't trust the person next to them. They decided to go try to make a play on their own. And I'm just not seeing that this year at all. As I've gone back through these first three games, and you know, I get to watch every play as we get ready for our AFR show, I'm just going, wow, the percentage of plays where guys that are assignment sound is really high, where everybody, all 11, are where they're supposed to be. Now, there's an occasional play where somebody's out of a gap. And to me, last year, you know, a bunch of guys in a brand new defense trying to understand it, trying to trust the scheme, and doing their best. But frankly, it's like having 11 freshmen out there starting because it's a brand new defense. And this year, what I'm seeing on the defensive side is everybody understands what they're supposed to do. That doesn't mean they don't ever make a mistake, but they're playing this team defense and they understand the defense so much better that guys are running to the ball with so much more speed and confidence that they're just playing at a completely different level. And so regardless of what the numbers show, and the numbers are telling in terms of pass yards and all that, the being assignment sound carries over no matter who you're playing. So that's a big difference to me on the defensive side. And then the offensive side, I see more confidence in Jake. You know, there's some times that he's going to make some decisions that you go, oh, I wish he wouldn't have done that, or I wish his feet were better on this one. But the receivers are running better routes, getting better separation, because I think they have confidence in the offense as well. So many transfers last year, and there were times when the quarterback would call an audible and the receivers would look at each other like, what route do I run on this one? And they didn't have the answer for one another. So to me, that's the biggest difference on both sides of the ball is a year of experience for the guys on the offense in this offense, and then everybody having a full year and another spring ball in Jay Hill's defense. And I think this defense has a chance to be really, really good this year.
There's a part of the fan base that's like, hey, we ride with Retzlaff. There's another part that is like begging for Gary to get in there after that first pick, despite Jake playing a great game where he's the fourth highest P4 quarterback rating among PFF ratings. So talk to us about what you've seen from Jake and his growth and his development as a starter through three games so far.
Yeah, I love what we did in the first game. Competition level was really low, right? And in the second game, competition level really, really high, and he had a couple of lapses in decision-making. Like the play where he tried to roll out and then make a play when he was already in the grasp and the ball got batted and that was picked off. There's just a couple of plays. The one play where he threw the interception to the defensive lineman, that's a kind of tough one. You'd like to have him have a little more awareness, but that one, the guy was like a jack-in-the-box coming up off of the ground. So, but in the Wyoming game, I saw none of that. I thought that his decision-making was really good. And you can say, well, he threw a pick early. He did not throw it to the wrong receiver. Like, if I was in the game, I would have thrown it to the exact same receiver. I hope I would have gotten a little more on the ball, and I would have thrown it a little higher and out to the pylon, right? But you don't throw the ball perfect every time. You're going to throw some interceptions when you're off just a little bit on throw. It's a little underthrown or, you know, those kinds of things. You can live with those. That pick, I'm completely fine with that pick because he threw it on time to the right receiver. He just underthrew it a little bit. You're going to have those. Like, NFL starting quarterbacks are going to have those. So I didn't see anything in that Wyoming game that said to me, man, you got to get him out of here. He got his feet not quite right a couple times on throws, and the throws were off. That's something that's very fixable. And as he gets more confidence and patience in the offense, you hope that the feet will follow. When he has calm feet and he has his footwork is good, where he strides to the receiver and gets his hips open to the receiver, he's accurate. The times he's not accurate is when he's throwing with his feet parallel or he gets his feet get a little happy. Those are things you work on with a young quarterback in this offense. The same things they had to work on with Steve Sarkisian his junior year. They had to work on with John Beck his sophomore year. The same thing they had to work with Zach Wilson on his sophomore year. Like, People forget. There was a time with John Beck when he was first playing. I was like, my goodness. Every time he touches it, he fumbles it. Like literally every time they touch him, the ball's on the ground. I don't know if this guy can play. But they had some patience with him. And by the time John Beck was a senior, I don't know if anybody was more efficient that's ever played this game at BYU at that position than John was his senior year. He was phenomenal, right? So there has to be some patience with him to let him grow into this.
Blaine Fowler is on BYU Sports Nation. Critics will also point to the, well, he missed Darius Lassiter open twice in what could have been scoring plays. And another pass should have been intercepted. And sometimes he struggles with ball security when he's running. Blaine, what would you say to those fans as maybe you encourage them to be more patient and we continue to roll with Retzlaff?
Yeah, like if he starts to digress, that's a whole different story. But if he's on an upward trend, then I think that's fine. I think if you go back and look at those plays, you're going to go right back to what I just talked about, and he's throwing with his feet parallel or whatever. It's interesting. Had a really nice visit with Gifford Nielsen last night. Pretty good player, if you guys remember, right?
He's all right.
College Football Hall of Famer and was a starting quarterback in the NFL. He said an interesting thing because he and I got talking about footwork and like how that makes a quarterback. And, you know, everybody says quarterbacks are built from the ground up. And we talked about Jake a little bit. And Giff said that when he was at BYU, Doug Scoville, who one of the greatest quarterback coaches and offensive minds in the history of the game, like just phenomenal. He changed the game. Roots to the West Coast offense can come right back to Doug Scoville and BYU in like 75, 76 when Giff was there. He was so bent on these guys having good footwork that he had a separate cameraman at practice filming nothing but the quarterback's feet. And each quarterback meeting started with 15 minutes of reviewing footwork, not even watching him throwing the ball or watch what was going on. It was completely based on your feet weren't quite right here. Why are you stepping over here? This is what you need to do. Can't take a false step. Defensive linemen are going to see that. That's going to chip off that it's passed. And Doug realized how important that was. And Jake, that's where he needs to get better. His footwork needs to be better. They worked a lot on it in the offseason. They'll continue to work on it. As that gets better, he'll get more and more accurate.
BYU and Kansas State Saturday night. This is going to be a lot of fun. It's a huge game. I called it in the A block. It's a moment for BYU football this year. The Big 12 opener, late night, a matchup that we're intrigued by. What do you see being super important for the Cougars to try and pull off an upset here?
Well, the first most important thing is that it's a night game at LaValle Edwards Stadium.
Heck yeah. Home.
That's BYU is scary at night, especially at home. And it seems like it doesn't matter who the opponent is. The Rock gets into it. The environment is crazy, and that helps. And so, I honestly think that that's a – I don't know. You give BYU a touchdown or more for that. It's that good of an environment at night. One thing on offense and one thing on defense. BYU on the offensive side, they have to play with ball security. I don't want Jake to be playing – tentatively. When it's there, you got to let it rip. If he throws a pick like he did in the Wyoming game, I'm completely okay with that. But he's got to understand he's got to take care of the ball. If he gets in scramble mode and somebody's got a hold of his shirt, you either take the sack, you just take the sack. If you've got a pass rusher in your face and you want to avoid the sack, you throw it over your outside receiver's head 5 yards out of bounds. Live to play another down and take care of the football. So the quarterback ball security on offense has to be really, really sound. That doesn't mean you can't throw a pick, right? That means, especially in the run game, you handle it. Then on the defensive side of the ball, Avery Johnson is one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the game in college football right now. Like DJ Giddens, the running back, is really fast. Avery Johnson's faster. Like he is so good in the run game and so dynamic. BYU's putting a game plan to keep him in the box, make him a pocket passer, stand back there and throw dimes. I believe if BYU can make him do that, then they got a really good chance to upset this Kansas State team. Because K-State's always solid on defense. They're big and they're physical. They're extremely well coached. Like, you watch them, they're gap sound on defense. They do the right things on offense. It's a really well-coached team when you look at how they execute on both sides of the ball and everybody being where they're supposed to be. The most dynamic player on this team is Avery Johnson. And if BYU can keep him in the box and make him just be a drop-back thrower, then that's a really good thing for BYU. So those are my two keys.
All right, Blaine, we'll finish with this. You've seen BYU and every other team in the Big 12 play three games. Where would you put BYU in your projected final standings, and how many wins do you have the Cougars at right now as you look forward to the next 9 regular season games?
I'd be disappointed if they don't get to 7 wins. And I haven't heard what you guys have said. I don't know if that matches up with what you're thinking.
Yes.
But I wouldn't put 8, you know, if they had 8, I'd be thrilled. I would not be, I'd be disappointed if they didn't get to 7. I'd be thrilled with 8. So that's kind of my watermark now after seeing them, especially after watching the SMU game. Because, I mean, we'll see in the next couple of weeks, but I still think SMU is a really good football team with a really dynamic offense that BYU shut down. So, and what does that do? If they get to 7 or 8 wins, that puts them in that around maybe 6th in the league, which I would also be thrilled with, 5th or 6th in that league. And then if they catch fire and get going, then who knows? You have a special season. But that if that season progresses, it's kind of like who stays healthy, who doesn't, you know, teams, you know, that have really dynamic players like Oklahoma State, man, I love the way they're playing on offense right now. But does Bauman stay healthy? Does Ollie Gordon stay healthy? If they both stay healthy, I can see Oklahoma State winning the league. If they don't, then they're right back in the middle of the pack. So a lot depends on who stays healthy as the season progresses. But right now, that's where I see BYU.
Great stuff. Uncle Blaine, Uncle Bizzle, Uncle B, whatever you want to call him. He delivers on a consistent basis. Thanks, Blaine.
Good to see you guys. Talk to you later.
Check out Blaine and the boys tonight on After Further View at 7 Eastern. Also tomorrow night, number 19 women's volleyball hosting Utah State. How about where the coaches played at the other school? Heather Olmstead played at Utah State. Rob Nielsen played at BYU. They're going against each other. It's a fun combination, little in-state rivalry. Utah State and BYU tomorrow, 6 Eastern. Check that 8 Eastern on ESPN+.
It's time for Top 5 Tuesday after the break. We look back at the top 5 plays from the 1996 Cotton Bowl win for BYU against, who was that again? Oh, yeah, Kansas State. This is BYU SN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. It's time to roll out the top 5 plays from the 1997 Cotton Bowl win, because it was January 1st, technically speaking.
Yep.
From BYU against Kansas State. Start us off, Jerem.
Tim McTyer with an interception. He picked off Brian Kavanaugh looking over the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Return to the 19-yard line. That was a big play for BYU. They needed a bigger logo at midfield. I don't think it was quite large enough, Spencer.
It didn't fill the whole playing surface.
In the Southwestern Bell Cotton Bowl or whatever it was. Tim McTyer, this secondary, by the way, one of the greatest in BYU history.
No doubt about
Loved
it.
Loved that secondary.
At number 4, hey, the defense was really good overall. They were led by the captain, Shea Muirbrook, who had a Cotton Bowl record. 6 sacks in the game, including this safety from the 5-yard line, Muirbrook. Taking down Brian Kavanaugh to give BYU the 2-0 lead. Everybody thought the game was going to start with a 2-0 lead, right?
That was the money I had put down on it, yeah. 6 sacks! Crazy. Steve Sarkisian, number 3. Touchdown pass to James Dye. James was awesome. 32 yards out. This cuts it to 3. It's 15-5. Give me that! James Dye, awesome. Career high 70 yards receiving in this game, by the way.
Love the celebration at that little pump with the shoulders. Number 2, Steve Sarkisian. To KO Kalalui, a bookend moment. Began with Texas A&M, finished with Kansas State. Yep. This would take a 19-15 lead. Sark had 291 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. This from 28 yards out. Kalalui had a team-leading 9 touchdown catches that season.
And the Sarkisian lasso.
I want more of it.
That's great, man. And number 1, Omar Morgan. Game-sealing interception, famously. Ed Keel, Brian Keel's older brother, tries to block it, turns around and tells Omar slant because he read it from earlier in the day. So Omar jumps the route, picks it off, and BYU wins 19-15, 14-1.
14 wins.
Number 5 in the AP poll. First team for a long time to have 14 wins.
Whew.
Ohio State did it a couple years ago.
Good vibes right now. Our question of the day, what makes you believe this BYU team at 3-0 in 2024 is better than last year's team that started 3-0? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from @angler24_7 on X, who says, defense is borderline elite. Offense is more consistent and can actually run the ball. Jake Retzlaff makes that go. The quarterback run game is the key.
He's got to be involved, especially because LJ Martin and Hinkley Ropati are injured and not available as of last week. We'll see if they are this week.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about Pro Football Focus making Chase Roberts the highest graded receiver among all Power 4 receivers? 6 catches, 129 against Wyoming.
He was pretty outstanding.
Awesome. He's awesome.
Against Wyoming.
He is fantastic.
Jake should throw to Chase a lot.
and Darius and Keelan and all the dudes.
That's a great room of receivers.
It's a great room.
Yeah. Our thanks to today's guests, Tyler Batty and Blaine Fowler.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time.
For Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. A shout out to Ben Cook on that Cotton Bowl championship team. We'll see you tonight for After Further Review and BYU Football with Kalani Sitake.